In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we sang a verse from O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We're doing a series here leading up to Christmas where we're going to look at one or two of those stanzas each Sunday. I went a little out of order, but we're looking at the wisdom stanza today. And of the increase of studies, of new studies, there is no end. Of the increase of studies, there is no end. I received in my email this past week a new study where these people working with DNA strands were looking at the effect of telomeres on the ability of your cells to duplicate. Does anyone know what this is? Some of you probably way more than me, and I shouldn't even be attempting to explain it. But the email was very long, and I read through it. And essentially, these telomeres are helpful with your DNA and cells replicating, and over time, they shorten, which has an effect on the aging process. Does anyone want to tell me I'm getting this wrong? So far, so good? Okay, I'm getting thumbs up from some of our medical professionals, so this is working. And so over time this happens, but this new study was researching and discovered that stress that you experience in your life can also shorten the telomeres, these little things here, and that can actually, so if the telomeres get shortened, then the duplication doesn't work as well, and that this will also increase the aging process for you. Now, I don't know how much money they spent on this study or how long it took them to do it, but the conclusion is that stress will shorten your lifespan. Sound about right to you? Well, if you're like me and you don't want to actually read any of these studies, you could just watch documentaries that will also give you some new finding that you didn't know before. This is one of my all-time favorites. It's a movie that was out quite a while back now called Super Size Me. And the filmmaker here wanted to check the effects of eating only McDonald's for three meals a day for something like a year. And so as he went through this, his hypothesis was, you know, this might have some effect on my health. And so he would eat, he had to get something from the menu, something new or different from the menu each time. He had to kind of diversify his offerings. And if they ever asked him, do you want to supersize that? His answer had to be yes, every single time. And so if you watch this documentary, you're watching this person basically causing all kinds of pain and agony to themselves. Spoiler alert for you, a diet solely of high fatty and sugar foods in massive volume will have a negative impact on your health. Who knew? Who knew this before? Now, my favorite place to go for the new studies and new information that will help me out in my life is, of course, The Onion or other similar satire sites. Some of you know the Duffel Blog, which is the military's version of The Onion, or another favorite of mine is the Babylon Bee, which is kind of the Christian's version of The Onion. And they had probably the best all-time new research study a few months ago. It said, study finds placing one foot forward, then the other remains best method of walking. So what are all of these studies telling us? Stuff that we already know. In fact, I'm not going to argue against the truth of any of these studies. Many of these studies are entirely true. Many of the things that we'll receive are entirely true. So I'm not even picking on them like, oh, they're wrong. They're totally right. And yet we see them or we receive them as new, which leads me to my first hypothesis for this morning, and that is that knowledge isn't power. Knowledge isn't power. I grew up learning the exact opposite of this in my life. But I think, in addition to some of these illustrations, we'll hear from God's word that this is the case. I have a good friend who loves pointing out that we have the entirety of human knowledge in the palm of our hand. He's talking about our mobile devices. He's talking about the internet. And he's right. I mean, you can access, you know, the app on my phone that'll let me look at star charts at night is incredible. And these other things that I can search and research, I got sucked into reading like a whole history of Spain a couple weeks ago. I don't know why I was just interested in Spain, so I was reading about it. So you can get all this knowledge, right? But what do we spend most of our time doing with all of this knowledge in the palm of our hand?
Playing video games,
Louis says, right? or another cat video, or 20 minutes of scrolling through social media, right? Kind of mindlessly just going through something here. Or just getting lost in a Reddit thread. Don't ever do this. Don't ever get lost in a Reddit thread. You'll never get that time back. We know that there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom in our lives, that there's having knowledge and then there's kind of applying it, and that those things are not really the same. And Solomon tells us that pretty explicitly in our reading from Ecclesiastes this morning. He says, where can you say that something new has come? Solomon says, there is no new thing under the sun. In fact, there's just old things that we have forgotten or that we didn't apply in some way. And so for Solomon, our lives are much more cyclical than they are progressive. We find ourselves kind of back in the same places again. And we know this at kind of the macro level. You know, we just celebrated with this last Veterans Day 100 years since the end of World War I, the war to end all wars, which it did not. And it wasn't for lack of knowing what happened when World War II began, and people were still alive that had experienced it. So people knew about what was going on, and it still didn't change things. And at the personal level, we know this too. You found yourself doing that. I had that fourth piece of pie. I knew I should not have done that. And you did. You did actually know. It wasn't for lack of knowledge. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine who's on island this weekend. He's working with National Guard. He's going into chaplaincy work. And he was telling me, sharing the sermon idea with him, and he was telling me that early on in his ministry, he was visiting a woman and her mom, and the mom was dying of lung cancer. And in his youthful exuberance, he decided he was going to tell her about all of the negative health effects of smoking. To which the daughter said, that doesn't help me at all. Like, your knowledge is not doing anything for me. And he said he learned a very valuable lesson there, that knowledge often is not power, because we often find ourselves back in the same cycles of things and we do not learn from this. All right, so that's my first hypothesis. Maybe you're with me so far, so good. I'm going to take us a little further down the rabbit hole here, and you're probably not going to like this one. My second hypothesis is that wisdom gets you nothing. This is harder, I think, for us to swallow. But think about the wisdom, when you apply wisdom in your life, what it looks like. For example, spare the rod and spoil the child. Correct? Use the rod, and he might hate you for the rest of his life. In other words, what I'm saying is that you might actually apply wisdom incredibly well, and you still might not get the outcome that you're looking for. And we know this probably in our own lives. Some of us here have grown children, you look back on the way you raised them, and you thought, okay, I did exactly the same thing with all of my kids, right? Whether you got two or three or more, I did the same thing. And yet they all kind of went in different directions. Some of them still kind of love and connected to you. Others, I don't like anything you did with me, Mom and Dad, right? And you applied wisdom as best you could. You even had a balance to things. And you really tried to do what you could do. And yet the outcomes were not under your control. This seems like something we don't want to admit, like, well, I'm powerless in this. But it's actually a deep movement into wisdom as Solomon is leading us. And that's what he says. So if you got a problem with what I'm telling you, take it up with him. Because Solomon says he devoted his entire life to wisdom, to the pursuit of wisdom. And we know famously in his story where when he takes over being king of Israel, he prays to God and he doesn't ask for riches. He doesn't ask for power or the destruction of his enemies. He says, God, give me wisdom. I don't know how I'm going to be able to manage all of these people that you have given to me. And God grants his wish. And Solomon is probably one of the wisest people who has ever lived. So he is not an anti-intellectual. And yet in our reading today, he says that his pursuit of wisdom is like chasing after the wind. You cannot grab hold of it. And no amount of knowledge or wisdom is going to get you the control that you're after in life. Pretty heavy. Where does it leave us? Well, maybe we should just sing the song that we were singing at the beginning. O come, wisdom from on high. O come, thou wisdom from on high. What we're saying in this first stanza, and this is an ancient song. These are the antiphons, these calls back and forth. So these are ancient, this is an ancient song for us that we get to sing today. We're going to call down wisdom from on high, Jesus himself. Not something that we're grasping after or that we ascend to, but we need God to come down to us. Because we are not going to get there and we're not going to be able to control life by having it. So we call him down. And then the next verse we say, or we might even say we pray. I mean, all these songs are a prayer, aren't they? And we pray, order all things far and nigh, right? Everywhere, basically. Put everything in the order that you need it to be in. And that had me thinking, Jesus, you know, what does it look like for you to order things? In wisdom, to put things where they're supposed to be, to make all that's wrong right. What does it look like for you to have things in order? And Jesus tells a parable. There's a certain man who had a vineyard, and he went out at the beginning of the day to hire workers for his vineyard. And he said, if you come and work for me today, I'll give you a whole day's wage. It's good money. And so they agree, and they go. And then a little later in the morning, he goes back out again, and he hires more workers and says, you know, you'll be paid a fair wage. And they go. And then again, at lunchtime, he goes, this guy needs an HR director, by the way, the vineyard owner. He's spending way too much time hiring when he should be doing something else, I suppose. But he goes out at lunch, and he hires again. And then he goes out later in the afternoon, and he hires again. And then with 1 hour left in the day, this seems like a complete waste of time, I think, he goes out and hires still more workers to come in and work the vineyard. And at the end of the day, when he settles accounts, he reverses the order of pay. So the people who showed up at the very end of the day are coming up first to receive their money, and they get paid an entire day's wage, which has the early birds thinking, I'm going to be sitting pretty here, because if they're getting that much, I'll get even more. And you know what they get? What they were promised. And they grumble about it. And I grumble about it. It doesn't seem fair. And Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. I don't like that order. Do you have any other things for me, Jesus? Anything else that you could talk about in terms of order? Yes, two men go up to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee, a religious man, well-dressed, and he prays out loud, very boldly. You know those people who are really good at praying in public? And he prays out loud, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people. People that don't show up here on Sunday, people who don't tithe, people who are not respected in their community. Thank you, Father, for making me me. And then far off, a tax collector, a pariah in his community, stands off, and his prayer is simply, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, that man went home justified before God. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus, I don't really like this order that you're presenting before me. This does not seem wise. Do you have anything else that you could tell me about the order of all things? Yes, Jesus says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. All right, let's move on, Jesus. How about knowledge? I can get back on track with knowledge. Can you give me some knowledge, something that'll be pragmatic in my life? I always hear this, by the way, you know, different types of preaching and churches. There's always kind of like, we need more practical stuff from the pulpit. I need you to give me something practical that's going to improve my life. So give me some knowledge. Throw some knowledge on me, Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Your wishes, your wants, your preferences, the things about you that you think give you worth to me and to other people, deny all of it. Pick up your cross, the hardships in life, your weaknesses, your failings, things that you try to hide from other people. Pick it up and follow me. That's not really helpful, Jesus. I don't like that knowledge. Do you have any other knowledge that you could give to me? Yes, Jesus says. If someone sins against you 490 times, forgive them every single time. And lose count. Well, that's going to make me a doormat, Jesus. This does not seem like helpful knowledge that I can use. Do you have anything else that I can work with here? Yes, Jesus says. Unless a seed falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. If you guys are tracking with me right now, I don't like any of this stuff. I don't like this way of knowledge or wisdom that Jesus is presenting. I mean, I don't until I need it, right? Until I'm at the end of my rope, but I don't like it. I am fighting against it again and again. And so you know what we need to keep doing? Singing the song. Keep singing the song and keep praying. Because the next line is like the author of these words really understands the human condition. After we have asked Jesus to order things and to show the path of knowledge, he realizes, the author of these words, realizes that we are not going to like it. And so we need to sing the next song, the next line there. Cause us in her ways to go. Jesus, I am going to need you by the power of the Holy Spirit to work in me because I'm going to fight against this, like kicking against the goads. I'm going to fight against this. And yet, you alone have words of eternal life. The wisdom I seek after is not always what is best, but the wisdom that Christ gives is, in fact, our very life, eternally and abundantly, even now. And this leads us, despite all of that kind of seeming anti-wisdom, it leads us quite naturally away from ourselves, away from our grasping, away from our effort and enoughness to finish out the song. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Jesus promises to come to his people. Not to wait for us to grasp the knowledge or the wisdom or him, but to take hold of us. And he takes hold of us in the hearing of his promises, in the waters of baptism, in receiving Christ's body and blood again this morning. Wisdom comes down and takes hold of you and me and leads us into life everlasting. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.